the news from Eretz Yisrael is very disheartening. We always get our hopes up, and then we have to contend with the Metzias, and we need more and more chizuk. Of course, this week is Pasha Shlach, and every year when it comes to this time, we have to be very careful not to relive the Chet HaMeraglim, that mistake that was made by those who were sent to see the good in Eretz Yisrael, and instead returned with bad, discouraging news. This subject of the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, is a difficult one. And we are still in the process of trying to overcome this. So let me explain. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shlach lecha, send men to go and to see the land that I'm giving to the Jewish people." The pasuk is filled with free choice. It's filled with bechira chavshis. Shlach lecha, that word lecha, it has a very nice ring to it. The word lecha, to you, for you. Lecha always means for your own benefit. As we all remember, way back, Parshas Lech Lecha, that when it says Lech Lecha, Rashi, Chazal explained that it means Lecha, go for your own sake. L'tayvascha, l'hanascha, it's going to be good, it's good for you. L'hanascha, you're going to enjoy. L'tayvascha, l'hanascha. L'atzmacha. So the word lecha is filled with the metzias of the self. Of the self, whenever there's the self, that means what I want, I enjoy, my ego tells me something. But the word that precedes lecha, for many people, spoils the enjoyment. The word shlach. Shlach means shlichus. Shlichus means, of course, it means that there's a job. You're being sent. Shlichus means that there's a mishalayach. It means that there's somebody who's sending. Somebody who's sending you. There's a mishalayach. There's a mishalayach. There's one who is sending you. There's a tafkid. There's a job. Where there's a mishalayach, there's a shliach. And there's shlichus. Shlichus means, shlichus always means responsibility. It means you're working for someone, you're being told to do something. You're a shliach. At the end of the parasha, when it says relations, and the beginnings and ends are always connected, when it says relations, sura achrei levavchem achrei nechem, that you should not be misled to follow your heart, your own heart and your own eyes. The meaning of that pasuk and the connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha is very clear. The Torah is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, Kindlach, I've given you eyes. And I've given you a heart. And Adarabba, I want you to enjoy. I want you to use your eyes. I want you to use your heart. I want you to see the world. I want you to experience the world. And it should be with your eyes. And it should be with your heart. How you see things and how you feel about things. The Baruch Shalom wants that. But the Torah says at the end of the parasha, which means that you have to coordinate the way that you look at things and the way that you feel about things. You have to coordinate your eyes and your hearts with the way that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, the way that I look at things and see things. In other words, the lecha of the Jew, right? Lecha means you, yourself, what you like, what you want to look at, what you want to experience. That's the lecha. That's the I. That the lecha of the Jew must be a kli, listen carefully, must be a means of revealing the shlach, the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It must be a means of revealing Hashem's heart and Hashem's eyes, and not, God forbid, that your lecha, that your ego, that your self, that your eyes and your heart should, God forbid, stand in the way, obstruct kivyochel his vision, Hashem's Baruch's vision, Hashem's way of looking at the world, and Hashem's Baruch's way of feeling the world, kivyochel. Very simply put, the avoda of a Jew in this world is to synchronize, to align his eyes, his heart, the way that you see. And you have free choice. You don't have to do that. Lecha means lahanos, l'tarvoscha, l'daitacha, Rashi says over here too, it's what you want. But when it says shlach, shlach lecha means that the lecha, that individual, that choice that you make, the struggle of your life is to make choices, to see things and to experience things, to feel things in a way that is synchronized, that is aligned with the shlichus of Hashem, with the shlach. This perhaps is what is hinted at in the words of the Navi, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, that man should see eye to eye with Hashem. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru. The greatest thing you could say about a Jew, it's an Erlich Yid. An Erlich Yid doesn't mean he has to be a genius. But an Erlich Yid, a God-fearing, good Jew, looks at the world the same way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam looks at the world. He looks at reality the same way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam looks at reality. That's ki ayin ba'ayin. So how could it be that Jews should speak Lashon Hara, should see something negative in Eretz Yisrael? How could it be? As the Baruch Shalom says, it's ki tov haaretz ma'od ma'od. It says in the parasha, the Baruch Shalom says it's very good. Eretz Yisrael is very, very good. Twice it says. And all the psukim, zavos cholav and dvash, it's flowing with milk and honey, it's mamash tov haaretz ma'od ma'od. So how could it be that a person could see something negative in the land? How could it be that a Jew could say something bad about Eretz Yisrael? That could only be if the person sees the lecha before the shlach. Really, the order of the parasha is shlach lecha. But if a person sees Eretz Yisrael with the lecha coming first, therefore everything has to be, my vision of Eretz Yisrael has to be l'tayvasi l'hanasi, the way that I would imagine it to be, the way that I would like it to be. I remember even as a child, we moved to Eretz Yisrael. My family, we moved to Eretz Yisrael. My father gathered us together one day and said, Kindlech, it's enough. I had enough of this place. We're going. My mother was also surprised. We all found out at the same time. And it was 2 weeks later, we left. And you know, I imagined, of course, the palm trees. I guess to me it was like Hawaii or Miami, Lahavdil, in my mind's eye. Except like it was the additional thing of like David Melech walking around somewhere. You know, for a child. And then the reality of the experience of going through the process of Aliyah, and all that that means and all that it meant back then in the late 60s, when it set in, I found that there was a terrible clash between the lecha, that means what Moshe was expecting, what I would have liked, and the shlach, which means what the Baruch Shalom shlichus, what the Baruch Shalom is sending Moshe to find out, to spy the land, to see the good Eretz Yisrael. So when you look at Eretz Yisrael with that lecha way of looking, if the lecha comes first, and Hashem wants us to see, and He wants us to enjoy. But when you look at everything in the way of lecha, and you forget the shlichus, and you don't synchronize and align your lecha with His lecha, with the Baruch Shalom's shlach, shlichus, so then you could be Maitzi Diba. You could say Lashon Hara. Because the job of a shlich is never to create anything. The job of a messenger is always to reveal something. Never to create something. The shlich is not a creator. The shlich's job is to reveal the will of the mishalech, of the one who sent him. In this world, we're all HaKadosh Baruch Hu shlichim. We're all spies. And we're sent into this world to use the kelim that Hashem gave us to accomplish that shlichus of revealing the shlach. But when lecha gets in the way, when the ego gets in the way, when the I gets in the way, when I look at the world l'tayvasi l'hanasi only for my benefit, and not with the question of how can I reveal Hashem's shlichus by using my eyes and my heart and so on. So then, if the land doesn't please me, if the lecha is not satisfied, I'll say lashon hara b'Eretz Yisrael. I'll say terrible things because the lecha is terribly disappointed. This means that even though in the Chumash those two words are next to each other, shlach and lecha, the mamish connected the two words, but really in between this sort of an intersection, in between the two words of shlach and lecha, at that intersection between the word shlach and lecha, which is all of one's Yiddishkeit, that place between shlach and lecha is one's entire Yiddishkeit. Because it would seem to be a contradiction. It does seem to be a contradiction. On the one hand, lecha means the subjective, lecha means for yourself. It means enjoy, make choices, do what you like. Like Rashi says, lecha, Hashem says, I'm not telling you what to do, you do what you like. L'daitecha, whatever you like. So there is, in that word lecha, there's the I, there's the self, there's choice. The whole world is open to you. But the word shlach, which means shlichus, which means Hashem is sending you, that's objective. In that world, in that empty space, in that little piece of parchment, between those two words of shlach and lecha, there we discover what kind of a Jew one really is. There we find out whether a person is dovuk to Hashem, whether he is attached to Hashem, or he's deluding himself. So here, let me explain by reviewing with you a teaching of the Klei Yakar. The Klei Yakar talks about the intersection between shlach and lecha. It's a little parchment between shlach and lecha. Shlach lecha anoshim. The Klei Yakar tells us that Chazal taught that the men despised the land, and the men said, let's go back to Egypt. That was the general consensus of the men. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. V'hanoshim Chazal say, Klei Yakar is just quoting Chazal. But the women loved the land. And Omru, when they said, we want the land. We want to take hold of the land. So here, let's pause for a moment in this quote from the Klei Yakar. There's a basic difference, the Kleyaka is saying, between the women and the men and their approach to Eretz Yisrael, their way of seeing the land. The women, in the case of the women, Chazal are telling us that there's a ne'emonis, there's a sense of shlichus. There's a feeling of being aligned, of synchronizing what I want with what Hashem wants. Hashem wants me to love Eretz Yisrael, and within myself, that love for the land is awakened because of my longing to love what the Beloved loves. To want what Hashem wants me to want. So in the case of the women, there's a ne'emonis, there's a faithfulness, a loyalty to what? To the shlichus, to the job, to the objective. On the other hand, the Klei Yarkov is teaching us from Chazal that the men, the anoshim, despised the land. Meaning that the men were making pilpulim and cheshbainis. The lacha, the question with the men was, what does this place do for me? The question of the women is, what does this place do for him? What does he want? The master of the world. And if that's what he wants, then I will strengthen and find within myself, since I contain within myself a piece of him, I will align my will with his will. Ritzayni kiritzayni. Therefore the women were mechavavais esaris. They loved the land. But the men, the Klei Yarkov says from Chazal, hayusayni esaris. They despise the land. Because here the lecha, the I, the ego, the anochi, the lecha came before the shlach. And he continues. Al kein omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Klei Yarkov's pshat in the parasha, in the beginning of the parasha. Al kein omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefi daiti. Therefore the Baruch Shalom is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, shlach lecha anoshim. You want lecha anoshim, you made up your mind. L'daitach Rashi says that men should be sent. Great men. Shlach lecha anoshim. See, al kein omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefi daiti shani raya ba'os. The Baruch Shalom says, I see what's going to happen. So the Hashem says, in my opinion, yoyseh tov l'shloach anoshim, it would be better to send women. Hamachava v'yseh sa'aretz, who love the land. Kilo yisapru b'gnusa, because the women are not going to say anything negative. The women are not going to see anything negative and speak lashon hara about the land. Aval lecha, but the Baruch Shalom says, lecha, I'm not telling you what to do. You don't have to, l'dayitacha. Al lecha, the Klei Yarkov says, l'dayitacha, sh'ata sova sh'ksheirim hema. In your opinion, these men are worthy. They're up to the task. They're going to be loyal messengers. The lecha is not going to get in the way. Sh'ata sova sh'ksheirim hema, v'ata sova sh'aruz chaviv alayem. And you think that they love the land? The way that I do, Hashem says, the way that I love the land, that's what you think? Tishlach anoshim. Shlach anoshim. So you could send men if you want. Send a minion. Hashem says, personally, I would rather send women. That's what the Klei Yarkov says. I'd rather send the women. Hayu mechavavei sesaretz, who love the land. To understand the oimek of this, let's come to terms with a bracha that women say every morning in davening, that is so misunderstood that the small-minded, you'll excuse me, idiotic interpreters of tefillah have taken advantage of Hashem's praises in such a way to misinterpret in order to further their own corrupted interests in reinterpreting Yiddishkeit. Shasani kiritzono. So, all the women who don't understand what they're saying are upset. A man says, Shlei Yasani Isha. He thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu every morning for not making him into a woman. And the woman says, Shasani kiritzono. It seems like a pretty condescending thing to say. Not condescending, but it seems like a discouraging thing. That, look, what can I do, Hashem? You made me according to your will. Shoshani Kitzano, which some say, the way we understand it, it's like a person, that the woman is being matzdikas adin. She's accepting this terrible decree that she was created a woman instead of a man. Naturally, that's going to cause a commotion, and women are going to have conferences to discuss that. This is all part of the shtusim and havolim of the amoratzis of that whole school. Let's see what the Talmud Chacham says about this. Bracha Shasani Kitzan of the Hashem. I want to thank you for making me in accordance to your will. These are the words of Rav Kook in his parish on the Siddur, Noilis Rian. It's kedai to look in there and to see. Let me read to you two or three sentences from Rav Kook's Siddur. Im kol yisrun shel ha'ish apoil v'harayishim isrish mehashpoz to b'chayim ba'olam. With all of the advantage that the man has in this world, the male, that he is able to make a great imprint because of his active involvement in doing and creating and so on. In other words, the strength of the lecha in a male, the lecha is very, very strong. The sense of I can accomplish, I will do, this is my baby, this is my job, it's up to me. Rav Kook says, but there's an advantage that the woman has because she is nif'eles. What does that mean, nif'eles? Whereas the man is the one who senses very strongly the lecha. I am poyel. I can change the world. It's up to me. And therefore the lecha is very strong in his vocabulary. The woman, on the other hand, the essence of the woman is to be nif'eles. That means to be affected, to be impressed, to be influenced, to be nif'eles. Meaning that what? Tchuna kazay shal kabolas rishonim. Where the man, the male's inyan is to make a rishon, to leave his imprint. The nature of a woman is to be imprinted. And that's the greatest praise. Listen. As bezesh apulus v'sayrus ha'mayisiyatz m'sirashim ha'adam ha'yodam b'tzimtzum shal koicha ha'chomer v'aruchni. So the male, the problem here is that in the case of the man, there is an extraordinary amount of concentration on his own presence, on what he does, on the lecha. Because he what? Because in Kedusha, that's the Inyan of Yesod. That he does have the ability to go beyond the self and reach out and to change things. But the result of that is, the danger of that is, Rav Kook says, that because of this unbelievable feeling of empowerment of the self, of the lecha, oftentimes it happens that the male forgets the shlach, the shlichas, he forgets the higher godly will, the ideal of HaKadosh Baruch, when he's filled with his own sense of my ideals, my will, my l'tayvasi l'hanasi, lech lecha. Masha'en kein atchuna ha'nefelos shel ha'isha. This is not the case with this quality of nif'eles, of the woman who waits to receive, who wants to be inspired, who wants to be imprinted by God's will. Kashihi yishara, if it's an erlich, a woman, if it's someone who observes Torah mitzvahs, a righteous woman, he alula l'hiroshem l'hipoel mitchunas ha'shefa shalamayis esher also ha'elukim. The nature of the woman, the essence of the woman is what? Is to passively hear. It doesn't mean anything negative like they made it in those conferences. But to passively be uplifted, impressed, changed, molded, affected. By what? By the higher will of what? Asher asar lukim, by the objective reality, the truth that God has created in the universe. Not my truth, but God's truth. Me'adchuna yishorek asher asar Hashem is ha'adam v'esha'ol. Shlach, the shlichus. The job, the will of Hashem. Then he ends and says, "Valkein mevarechus yehaisha v'haydo al chelka hatoyv." therefore with joy, not with embarrassment and shame. Not with embarrassment and shame of those people who would change the Siddur, who are smarter than the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who are smarter than the Chachamim. But Rav Kook says that with joy and with pride, Al-Kain Mevareches Ya'isha B'Haidah Al-Chelka HaTayv, she rejoices in her great portion, and she says, Baruch Ata Hashem She'asani Kiritzono, who has created me in a way that I, in the most natural way, will live according to His will. A good shliach, a messenger. So the women are mechava vayisas haaretz. Therefore they love the land. Why? Because since the nature of the woman is to identify in her very being with what the mishaleach wants, it's to align her emotions, her heart and her eyes with the heart and the eyes of the Creator. Therefore, whereas the man sees ugliness in the land, sees it's a place that's impossible to conquer, a woman sees what? That the Baruch Shalom likes the place. I also like it. So the man's thinking, have you no eyes of your own? And she says, I do. But they only see what the Baruch Shalom sees. I have my own eyes. I have a lucha, a lach. I have my eyes. But what do you want from me? A shasani kitz? Oh no. I love what he loves. I love what he loves. We always were amazed, my sister and I. Occasionally, you know, we would have these discussions when there was somebody who was running for president or for mayor growing up in the house. And before my father would come home from work, so my mother, she should be well and blessed. My mother has strong opinions. And she was reading and she was watching the news and she was pretty strong about who she felt should be, you know, that should be elected. And she would give us a half hour lecture about this is the man, this is the only man for the job. And then my father would come home, he'd wash, sit down, teeth, and my sister and I always sat for a while at the table. So he said, Daddy, who are you voting for? My father would say, the other one. 90% of the time is the other one. And my mother, we would look at my mother, my mother would say, that's what I was saying. So my sister and I would say afterwards, like, what's going on, Mom, you know? We had this whole schmooze about the other one's a Russia. And this one's a tzaddik. And the second daddy says, he's a good man. He'll really be better for the Jews. You know, the whole... So then my mother... So, in the mind, in the immature mind of a child, that would seem to be something that's perhaps unpleasant. But as I grew older, my sister and I have discussed this many times, as I grew older, I realized that my mother's respect and love for my father is so great that she instantaneously truly loves what he loves. It's a remarkable thing. It doesn't mean that there is no ego or sense of self. My mother, Baruch Hashem, I've never seen that has been a problem. Chalila, thank God. But there is the love to be aligned with the one that you love. And that you respect. Ad kedekar, like Chazal say in Perek, until you make your rotzen, you make his rotzen your rotzen. That his will is your will. Lahav del elef alfi havdolos, between human beings and the master of the universe. And you know that, of course, we've spoken about this, especially in the shiurim that we're doing about Shabbos this year, that Knesset Yisrael is Hashem's kala, Hashem's eshes chayil. Therefore, whereas the men, in the eyes of Lecha, the men who say Shalei Asani Isha, because there's this feeling of it's me, I make my own decisions. Not the women don't, I make my own decisions, I'm the one that goes out there to the world and conquers the world. So in that world of Lecha, the Taka got lost. And they came back with negative things to say, which we'll talk about in a second. But the women, the Rebbe Shlom says, I should have sent the women. Not that I should have, if you ask me, I could have broke, that's the Klayaka. That me, you said Shlach Lecha Noshim, I would say Noshim, I would send the women who would not speak, who would not say things against the land, but who would reveal the objective truth that I have stated, which is Taiva Haaretz Ma'ayd Ma'ayd. It is a precious, beautiful land. Now, what did the Meraglim actually say? What did the men have to say about the land? Now, you know this is a very hard sugya, but let's try to simplify. Efes ki az ha'am ha'yesha baretz. The people who live there are very, very powerful. V'ha'arim b'suras g'daylus ma'ayd, and fortified, great fortified cities. V'gam yaldeh ha'anak re'inu sham, and there are giants that live in the place. Powerful people. This was their description of reality, which is not inaccurate. There were no lies over here. It's not inaccurate. But their maskana, there was the problem. The conclusion that they reached, and I'm just summing up what the Mefarshim are saying here. The conclusion they reached was that this is a task that is beyond our kaychas. This is something that we can't do. Now, we understand that it's emes, it's true, that there are times when there's something in your way and you can't go through. You can't get by. There's something that's in the way that's preventing you from moving forward. Very often, I don't know if we could say most often, but maybe, most often, that which is in your way does not make it impossible to continue. It makes it difficult, and it creates a great challenge. And you have to be extremely committed and extremely, extremely ambitious. But you can go. This is a great question that we have in life, Bechlal. How does one know whether or not, how do you know whether this is an obstacle that I can get past or I can't get past? How do you know? Oh, you ask yourself the question. It says in the Mishlei about the lazy man that he doesn't go where he has to go because there's a lion in the street. So, you know, you'll excuse me just to explain this a little bit. There's an old joke I once heard that there was a woman who started her diet. And you know, the beginning is with a lot of conviction. And it was the first day of her diet. And she was driving, she had to go pick up the kids or something, or take the kids, and she's driving past her favorite bakery. It's on the main street. And she's having it ready, it's a problem. So she made a klal. She set a certain rule. The rule is that if I find a parking space in front of the bakery, it's a simon that the Baruch Shalom wants me to have the Napoleon. And if I don't find a parking space, it's a simon that he doesn't want me to have the Napoleon. And she says, and sure enough, after circling the block 12 times, I found a parking space. So, if you really, really want something, if you want something badly enough, so sometimes it means you have to circle the block. It means you have to keep on going. When you don't really want something badly, when there's something that, when your rotzen is weak, when your willpower is weak, when you don't want it badly, so you spend a lot of time making all kinds of hakiris, drushes, about maybe you can, maybe you can't. Let's study the statistics. Let's see if this is possible. Did I mention here? I don't remember if I mentioned in shul. I mentioned here that there's a good chaver of mine. He called me up. This is a way back, and he was moving into a new house. And he called me. Could I help him with the bookcase? I told you about this. He said, "Could I help him? He has the bookcase. Could I help him move it into the study, the new house?" So sure, I went over, and we were chavrusas for many years. So we look at the entrance into the study, and we look at the bookcase, and we're talking about it for a while because we're chavrusas. And then we both came to the conclusion that it's not shaykh. It's not shaykh. Now, we didn't have a tape measure or anything like that. It just looked like it wasn't shaykh. And we spoke about it, the width, the height, the depth. It's just not shaykh. The only thing we could do at that point was to have a Danish and to relax a little bit. So his wife walked over. She was the one, of course, that wanted this taken care of as soon as possible to get things in order. She walked over, and she looked at this, and she looked at us sitting there schmoozing, and she pushed the thing right through the door. It's a true story. She went right through. She put it right in. She moved it in. We sat there. We said, no, you can't. It's not shy. It's impossible. It's not possible. So regarding the attitude of the men here, so David HaMelech said in Tehillim, that they were Moyes Beres Chemda, that they despised the land. Now you wouldn't know that when you read Parsha Shlach. You would just say that there were things in the way, and there were legitimate concerns. And we would like to fulfill the Shlach, the Shlichus. We'd like to do what you said, just like we wanted to move the bookcase. You'd like to fulfill the Shlichus, but you know, it's not Shaykh. It's just not possible. This was the Lashon, these were the thoughts of the 10 spies. And of course, in infinitely deeper ways, so it's about the Zohar Kaddish and the Ariya Kaddish, we're simplifying, but this is the Mahalach of the spies. What David HaMelech said, it says already in Chumash and Dvarim, that they were Moyes Simbers. They didn't want it. The Lecha didn't want it. And because the Lecha didn't really want it, so then the Shlichus became impossible. There's a lion in the way. I can't do it. There's no place to park. Kolev ben Yefuna, Yeshua ben Nun, Kolev, they also knew, they knew the reality. They didn't disagree. They understood that there are tough people over there, and there are fortified cities. It's not Poshet. They didn't look at the world in some unrealistic way. They knew that it was difficult. But Kalev looked at the situation, and he remembered that the Mishaleach said you could do it, right? That makes it a lot easier. But the Mishaleach told us that we can keep Torah Mitzvahs also, remember that. So the Mishaleach said you could go. So when the 10 spies were looking at this door and looking at the bookcase and saying that's not Shaykh, so Kalev screamed out. I wish I could have been there when he said it. I mean, I would have been one of the ones that wasn't like that. But to hear him when he said those words, Oloi Na'ala, we shall surely go up to the land. Oloi Na'ala, the Arashnu Esau, and we will inherit the land. We will conquer the land. Ki Yochel Nuchal La, because we surely can do it. We can do it. Oloi Na'ala. Meaning, I understand Kalev is saying, I understand Yidden, it's not easy. And Eretz Yisrael is with Yisurim. And Yisurim means Tsaris. And Tsaris means Hashem Yirachem, Jews getting blown up. But Kalev is saying that it can be accomplished, but it can be accomplished only with what? Shasani Kirtzono. Oloi Na'ala. We will surely go. Oloi Na'ala. Meaning, the Tnai is. Oloi Na'ala doesn't only mean physically to take a trip. Oloi Na'ala means that he's saying Yidden. There's only one way that we can move forward towards Yerushalayim. And that's if we raise ourselves up from that little lecha. If you raise ourselves up from the smallness of the lecha and remember there's a shlach, and the Bnei Shalom told us a din in his Torah, which is shluch shalom mekemaisai, which means that the one who's being sent has the power of the one who sends him. And if the one who sent us said it's our land, it means it's our land. How many bombs, how much sorrows, how many wars, how many bullets, how many burials, Hashem Yirachem, we don't know. But Oloi Na'ala, in this Roimein, if we ourselves rise to the occasion, if we attach ourselves to the Shlach, to the Mishaleach, if we want, But our wanting doesn't contradict what he wants. In other words, if we remember what he wants, and he wants us to go, and we align and synchronize our wanting with what he wants, if we love what he loves, Shasani Kirit Sinai, if we identify with the Rabbeinu Shalom Shlichus, and we use our eyes and our hearts to see what he sees, and to want what he wants, even though we might not understand fully how it could be. But I love him, and he wants that, so I identify with that wanting. As Rav Kook says, Ki Aisha Nefeles. So then the conclusion is, Oloi Na'alav Yerashno Esa. No. This means that the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, was then and even now. V'ha'anoshim asher olu imai omru, and the men who went to spy said, Lo'inu chalalais alam ki chazukum imenu. We cannot possibly go there and conquer those people because they're stronger than us. A weakness, we're too weak. Eretz Eicheles Yoshveha, it's a land that consumes those who dwell there. Everything that they're saying is, every word that they're saying is what l'cha. In other words, it's not l'tayva seinu, l'hana seinu. It's not for our good, for our benefit. In America, it's for our good and our benefit. L'chol l'tayvos l'hanoscha. The parnos is better. The daily routines of life are easier. From that perspective of l'cha, where everything has to be l'tayvosi, l'hanosi, for my pleasure, and to serve my purposes, the report is a negative report. V'shom re'inu es hanefilim b'nei anok min hanefilim, v'anehi b'einenu kechagovim v'chein hayinu b'einehem. This is the ultimate. And there we saw these, the children of the giants, v'anehi b'einenu kechagovim. We were like grasshoppers, like bugs, insects in our eyes. V'chein hayinu b'einehem, and so we were in their eyes. We were like insects in our eyes, worthless little tiny bugs in our eyes, and so we were in their eyes. So the question is, the Gemara asks this in Saita. Who told them the opinion of the Anakim, of the giants that lived there? The Mela, you say about yourself, I'm a bug in my own eye. I'm an insect in my own eyes. Okay, and that's your own evaluation. But what, they read the newspaper? Bugs seek to conquer land? Where do they get this? How do they know that in the eyes of the Knanim, of the Anokim, of the giants who lived there, how do they know that they were worthless little bugs, silly little insects? So the Gemara says in Lamed Vav, that what? That the Meraglim, they were spying, they heard the Anokim saying, Mihem hachagov ma'ashem estayvim k'tzei akerem. Who are those grasshoppers that are wandering around the vineyards? Now, Bamis, they were talking about grasshoppers. So the Kotzke says, but you know how this works. If you're worthless in your own eyes, then that's, if you're worthless in your own eyes, that all you care about is what other people think about you. That's the only thing that makes a difference, what everybody thinks about you, what they say about you. And it's amazing how the person with the lowest self-esteem is convinced that the whole world is saying something bad about him or talking about him. Usually they don't, nobody really much cares about you, you know, what you're doing or saying. You see, we understand. A shliach of Hashem, a person who has confidence, a person has confidence that he's working for the Baruch Shalom. It's the Baruch Shalom Shlichus. Speak to my boss. I don't like what I'm doing. Speak to my boss. A person who has that inner strength, that otzma, that strength, that oimetz alev. What do you care if they think that you're a bug, or that they think that you're a giant? What difference does it make? What their evaluation of you? That if you live in the ego that's called lecha, if you live in that world of the lecha, where everything is l'tayvoscha l'hanoscha, if you live in that world, mimela, you're always going to hear what people say about you, and you're always going to make judgments based upon their evaluation of what you can do and what you can't do. This is what's happening right now in the world. I've already spoken about this over the past couple of months. The pacha the Jews have about world opinion, and I spoke about it 2 weeks ago, how Jews have to conduct warfare, and the concern that we have what the anti-Semite in Paris will think about us, and to try to take a look at the latest polls to see whether most of America likes Jews or doesn't like Jews, and how we should present our claim that it shouldn't, God forbid, look in any way as being racist or chauvinistic. So it's a pella here is that we always associate courage and fortitude with men. And Davki here, the Baruch Shalom says, I should have sent the women. See here, the men, that world of the Lecha cares very much about what everybody says. But when you're confident and you identify with the Mishalech, with the one who's sending you, so Davki here, the women are usually associated with being more fearful or more timid, let's say. They're not afraid. Why? Because the women knew who the true Anokim were, who were truly the giants. Who's truly a giant? And they understood, they believed, that the Baruch Shalom is Ram al Kol Goyim, that the Baruch Shalom is the giant. And they understood that if the Baruch Shalom said that it's our land, it means that we're the giants. They understood that. They believed in that. That's Shosani Kirat Sinai. And that what? And those intimidating, physically imposing inhabitants of the land are Hagovim. They're grasshoppers. They're nothing. They're nothing to be afraid about. That's the attachment to the word Shlach. So you know how many times in life this is a test that we have to go through. The test, when it comes to certain times in life, when there are obstructions and obstacles, when there are difficulties, then we begin to find out who is a grasshopper and who's a giant. Who's on the side of the Chagovim? It's a good thing for color women. We talk to the girls about it. You know, two sides, Chagovim and Anakim. They're always trying to think of new things in the school, like, you know, Chagovim and Anakim, the grasshoppers versus the giants. And if the grasshoppers are Jewish, it's for sure the team, the winning team. But in life, this is the test that we have to go through, we're going through right now. Politicians can very rarely pass this kind of test. Only Maminim can. So this is what Kalev and Yeshua said. Oh, they passed the test with flying colors. So Kalev and Yeshua, Im Chofetz Bonu Hashem. Kalev and Yeshua said, Im Chofetz Bonu Hashem, if the Baruch Shalom wants us to, if the Baruch Shalom is satisfied with us, Im Chofetz Bonu Hashem, Vehevi Yisrael L'Aretz Azos, and He will bring us to this land. V'nos Nolonu Ha'aretz, Ashihi Zovas Chalav Advash. And the land will be given to us, the land of flowing with milk and honey. Everything depends upon those words. Im Chofetz Banu Hashem. Im Chofetz Banu Hashem means if it's Hashem's will. That's the same thing, the bracha that the women made this morning and will make tomorrow morning, Shosani Kirtzono. Im Chofetz Banu Hashem means that the only way to measure whether I could do something or maybe I can't is not by world opinion, it's not by statistics. Im Chofetz Banu Hashem. If it's Hashem's will, it means that I can. It means that the Mishaleach is sending me. I might not be able to finish the job today. Might not be your responsibility to finish the job. But Im Chofetz Bono Hashem means that I believe with all of my heart that if it's His will, that means that He's directing the players in the story. And if I have to ask the question, what is the right thing to do? What is good? So the Meraglim, the men said, the good thing here is to stay in the desert. And the women said, the good thing is to go to Eretz Yisrael. The women understood the same. The women were just as frightened by the problems that are there. It's difficult. They're going to have to go through the misery and suffering of settling the land. But if you ask them what's good is what the Baruch Shalom says is good. Chachma. That's good. Taivaritz Maid Maid. Hashem created the land, and Hashem created us, and He said that it's a fit. That they fit. They go together. Jews and Eretz Yisrael go together. Like a chasen and kala. Says in the pasuk, Ki yival borcha besula, yivoluch, bonayach, mesais chasen, al kala, yosis alayach, elokayach. Which the Navi Yeshayi is saying in Samach Beis, that what? That the relationship, we'll talk more about this a different time, that the relationship between the Jews and Eretz Yisrael is like a relationship between a chasen and kala. Inseparable. Eishes nur. We can't live without Eretz Yisrael. So now, based upon what we learned, we can understand the teaching in a small little book of Rav Kook, the Midas. Midas Harayi says over there, listen to this amazing sentence. And initially he said, well, what does one thing have to do with the other? Mishum is ames lizkais lahasoros hagaiva milavavo. Whoever truly seeks to remove conceit from his heart, if you really are trying hard to remove the ego, yizkei lahavas Eretz Yisrael. That Jew who is struggling to eradicate conceit, he is the only one who could truly love Eretz Yisrael, if Cook writes. And then he says, Ha'oihev is Eretz Yisrael, Be'emes, and a Jew who truly loves Eretz Yisrael, Yizke Lisnei Yisagayev, he will hate conceit. He will despise that midah of Gaivin. So when you look at this, what is that? What does one thing have to do with the other? Gaivin, Eretz Yisrael. A person, a Baal Gaiva can't love Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Kook is saying. If you're Baal Gaiva, you can't love Eretz Yisrael. You see, there are many people that say that Eretz Yisrael is good. They talk about it. And there are many people that say that it's a special, special, amazing place. The Meraglim also says it's a special place. And they also brought back like good stuff, souvenirs. They went to all the right stories in Al Gula right before they left. And they said, Tavar, it's always a lot of good things there. You can get all kinds of good things. And do you love the land? Sure, I love the land. I support the land. I visit the land. I love the land. But Yeshua and Kalev taught us in this parasha, Im Chofetz Bono Hashem, means that the only way that one can truly, truly love the land is if you're connected to Shlach, to the Shlichus, to the messenger, and his will, Shasani Kirtzono. Because then your evaluation of Eretz Yisrael is not a matter of your opinion. Because based upon our opinions, New York is better than Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is pretty. But life in New York is better. Based upon the evaluation of the Lecha, Eretz Yisrael is going to lose. It's only if you're connected to what Yeshua and Kalev said, Im Chofetz Bono Hashem, which means what Hashem wills is what I will. What Hashem's Shlach, Hashem, my Lecha is being synchronized with Hashem's Shlach. What I want is what Hashem wants. Therefore, when that person goes to the land, when that person goes to Eretz Yisrael, then the opinion of the land is not one that will lead to the Lashon Hara being Maisi Diba based upon the disappointment of the Lecha in the land. The Lecha is bound to be disappointed. But the Shlach is going to be very impressed with Eretz Yisrael. The Shlach is very impressed with Eretz Yisrael. That Shosani Kitzanai, Ma'noira Hamokam Hazeh. How awesome is this place? Ma'noira Hamokam Hazeh. So Rav Kook says that a person who has a big ego, who's conceited, he can't love the land because the ego says that Eretz Yisrael is not so good. Just like by the Meraglim, it's the same thing. The ego says you can't, it's not for now, it's impossible. Who knows what, we'll have to give up the land, we have to make concessions, we have to talk and trade and give away pieces of the land. We can't. Where does that come from? What do you mean, maybe you can't, but God can. Therefore, only the person who's connected into that world of Shasani Kirt Sinai, whose lecha is synchronized with the Rotsan of Hashem, the Mchafetz Bona Hashem, who's not asking what can Eretz Yisrael do for me, but what can I do to fulfill the Rotsan of Hashem by being in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it's amazing. For you and I, it's difficult to be in Eretz Yisrael for any extended amount of time. And if, you know, you can't find a good restaurant, and if, you're having problems with some of the bureaucracy and so on, now it's a lot better than it used to be when we lived there. It was gefährlich, mamish gefährlich. It's a lot better now. But if you find that all of these things make it impossible, and when you take these trips, you see that really, it's not gonna work for you. That means that you're still holding very strongly on. I'm not talking about if somebody has parents that they have to take care of. I'm not talking about a divine mitzvah. That's the shlichus of Hashem to take care of your parents. But I'm saying, stop, push it. When Rav Kook said that it's gaiva that's in the way, he wasn't saying like you're walking around saying, look at me, I'm great, I'm the greatest person in the world. The gaiva here means that it's because of your ego that you only can see you could see Eretz Yisrael only through the eyes of Lecha. And that the Lecha tells you that the food is better in New York. The Lecha tells you that they're better, you have a bigger and better house in New York. And that's what the Lecha tells you, that's more important than what the Baruch Shalom says, Shlach. That's the bottom line. That's what Rav Kook is saying. To truly love the land, you have to eradicate the ego. Because Hashem truly loves the land. You don't. Shasani Kiritzona means to see through the eyes of Hashem, to see the land, and to love Eretz Yisrael in that way. That's something that was still in the process of figuring out. That's what I meant when I said that although the news from Eretz Yisrael is very discouraging and disheartening, we shouldn't chalila fall into that way of the Meraglim. And we have to strengthen ourselves with Imchavitz Bana Hashem and Olay Na'alav Yerashna Vaisa. And therefore, we don't wait for the right political, historical, economic, sociological conditions. That's not our Inyan. Kleisel's Inyan is not that. What the historians say, what the politicians say, is what the Rebbeinu Shalom says. And Imchavitz Bana Hashem, then Olay Na'alav Yerashna Vaisa. That's what we have to strengthen inside of ourselves. Instead of Chalila falling into Dika'on, into depression or despair, giving up hope, Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom. Afal Pichei, nevertheless, it's been an extremely difficult tkufa. It's been an extremely difficult tkufa. I mentioned on Shabbos, I mentioned in the shul something that I saw, that the Kotzke said that Mashiach comes, so everybody's going to line up to say Shalom Aleichem. Every Jew wants to give Shalom to Mashiach. So it's going to take a few weeks, you know, every year to give Shalom. So the Kotzke said, me? Kotzke said about himself, I'm waiting, I want to be the last one. I'm not pushing, I'm going to wait. I'm going to be the last one. Because when I go to Mashiach, and I go to shake his hand and say Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi, he's going to say to me, Nu Mendele, what took you so long, where were you until now? So I could say to him, and Rebbe, where were you until now? So I want to wait to be the last one. So if it's true that you and I are sometimes sluggish in our Avodas Hashem, and we're dragging your feet a little bit, and there's a kasha, where are you? Where am I? So our generation also has the right to ask Mashiach Tzakeinu, where were you so long? But we understand there's a connection between the two, between the Shlach and the Lecha. And the Rebbeinu Shlom should help us that we should be Zoyche, Mitzvah Hashem, to be on that line. Whether we're at the front of the line, or the back of the line, but we should be Zoyche to be on that line, to be able to look at Mashiach Sekeinu in the eyes, and to be able to say, we try to be good Shluchim for the Rebbeinu Shlom, and Olay Na'alav Yirashnu Yisa. So it's time to leave this place and to go back to Yerushalayim, to the place where we belong. With the Gula Hashem, Amitis, Mehev Yomeinu Amen.